God is good. This is what the Bible says. We repeat this. Believers hold to that truth. It's a statement of faith. But the definition of good has to be allowed to come from the Bible itself. Let God define what goodness is. When we would define goodness, the human viewpoint, we've used things like things that are pleasant or pleasing or pain-free. It'd be our desires. We want God's goodness to match our desires. When we look at the Bible, God's goodness involves words like faithfulness or deliverance. It involves testing, examining, trying, sacrificing. This is God's goodness. He is always faithful, He is always good, and He's always taken us to a better place. Sometimes it's not where we would want to go or not where we would choose, but it is good in taking us to a better place. The definition of God's goodness and our definition of goodness could be compared to the definition of an adult or a parent compared to a child. What they would consider good, and it's fun to try. What do you want? What would you do? You ask a child, and it's absolutely the wrong decision. It's only self-gratification for the moment, and it's going to lead to disaster. That's why they've got parents. And so we are the same way in the sense of with God's divine viewpoint compared to our human viewpoint, we got to allow God's goodness to be defined by God and trust that He is good, even if we would consider things to be difficult, painful, sacrificial, things that we would, you know, deny ourselves from having to do. Psalms 107, I've got an example here. This is where one of the great verses, Psalm 107, verse 1, where it talks about God being good. But then that chapter follows with a list of people in different situations where they're in trouble, sometimes because of a situation. Maybe it's a natural situation. Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe it's a situation they're in because of their sin or their own rebellion towards God's goodness or God's reality. In every case, God responds to them in faithfulness with deliverance. They learned something and came out of it, but God's deliverance, God's goodness showed up for them. The chapter begins, Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That phrase, steadfast love, is a covenant word for faithfulness. It's steadfast love. It's not an emotional love. It's faithfulness. It's commitment to the program. He is committed to goodness. He's committed to taking you to a better place. He is faithful to this very covenant that He's got with you. Now, it continues then, as I say, it says in verse 4, some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to the city, hunger and thirst. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them. Describes that. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Then they cried to the Lord, and He delivered them. Then in verse 17, here's a classy example. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They go on and on. Then they cried to the Lord, and He heard them and delivered them. Now, you've got people in natural situations. You've got people in their own disastrous situations that they created, which leads us to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul picks up on this very idea. He's going to give us an example of his own life talking to the Philippians, where he's going to say that he has no needs. He's learned to be content in every situation, and then he describes this for him. I want to read this to you because this is kind of the topic of what I'm sharing with you today, is the four quadrants of life. There are four quadrants that God will take you through. It's guaranteed. He is going to take you through every one of these quadrants. You're going to have to learn to be content in four different quadrants, and here they are. Let me read this to you. Paul writes to the Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, then mainly 12, and then a key verse in verse 13 that everybody quotes that I want to show you where verse 13 comes from. Everybody quotes verse 13, but they do not know verse 12. So here we go. Listen to this, please. Beginning in verse 11, Paul says, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content." Now, he's learned to be content. Meaning, it didn't come naturally. Just because he's a Christian, he's not content. He had to learn it. Education, knowledge, experience is crucial to becoming a successful Christian. Yes, you believe in Christ and you are in the kingdom of God, but you have to learn some things. You have to learn the nature of God. You have to learn to trust the nature of God. You have to learn that you are deceived. You are in a situation where you have sin and you need to be led by God to grow into His nature out of the sinful nature of humanity. That's basic Christianity. Nonetheless, Paul learned in whatever situation to be content. He then says in verse 12, "I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound." In other words, I know how to be low. I know how to abound. He's talking about poverty and prosperity. He's talking about bad things compared to good things. He's learned to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstances, here's the phrase, I have learned the secret. Remember that phrase? I have learned the secret. I have learned the secret of facing plenty. Get this, there's four things. Of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. Now that sounds like it's a repeat in the English, like you're saying, prosperous poverty. But there's four things. Those are your four quadrants right here. First of all, he says, I've learned the secret. The phrase, learn the secret, is a technical phrase that it, for initiation. Initiation into knowledge of information, but also of initiation into applying that knowledge, that information. In other words, you've got the knowledge, but now we're going to go out and test you with this knowledge. You've been initiated. He has says right here, I have learned the secret. It's a technical Greek phrase to be initiated into information and learn how to use the information. Now remember, the main verse is coming up in verse 13, and everybody wants verse 13, but you've got to go through learning the secret of receiving the information and learning how to apply the information. You need to be initiated. Again, faith in Christ brings you into the kingdom. Faith in Christ brings you in to fellowship with God the Father. But now to grow and become like God the Father, to grow and have the nature of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be initiated. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to gain knowledge. And then you're going to have to practice applying that information. And then you will be, as Paul is here, initiated. Or, he says, or translated, having learned the secret of facing, of how to be brought low, how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. Now, these four words right here, well-fed or plenty, hungry, plenty or abundance, and then in want or need, those depending on the translation you get from them. Those are four words, well-fed and plenty is two of them, and another set is hungry and in want. In other words, prosperous, two words for prosperous, two words for poverty. The difference, my friends, is this. He's not saying prosperous poverty. He's using them, and you can see this in the Greek, that they are in the passive or active verb tense. The first one, well-fed or plenty, is in the passive. This means it happened to him. He was the subject that received the well-fed. He didn't do anything to earn or deserve it. It just came his way. He was in a situation of well-fed or plenty passively. It came to him. The last in want is also passive. In other words, it begins with well-fed or plenty, passive. The fourth one is in want or in need, in passive. That means now he came into a situation where he was in need, in poverty, in want. Had nothing to do with what he did, nothing to do with his decisions. It just came on him. Just like at one point he was here and passively prosperity came. Now in another situation he's just here and passively poverty came to him. The middle two words are hungry and plenty, or hunger and abundance. They are both active. That means the subject, which would be Paul himself, actively did this. He caused the hunger. In other words, he made a decision that put himself in a position where he was hungry or in need. Why are you in this position? I made a bad decision, or I chose to be in this position. I did this. I created poverty for myself. The other word, plenty, is also active. It's the third of the four. Is he became plenty or came into abundance because of something he did. He actively made a decision, made a business deal, got educated, got a job, worked. He did something to put himself in a place of plenty or abundance. The four quadrants of life. You're going to see this in life, and you're going to go through all four quadrants. God is going to be faithful to take you through all four quadrants so you can learn the secret of being content in any and every situation. If you're in plenty because of something you did for yourself, or if you're in plenty just because something came your way, or if you're in poverty or struggling because of something you did or some bad decision you made or commitment you made, sacrificial giving you gave, it was something you did, or if you did something to bring prosperity. It's either active prosperity, passive prosperity, active poverty, or passive poverty. You're going to be in all four. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes you had nothing to do with it. You're going to have to learn to be content in any and every one of those situations. And that's where verse 13 comes from. And not until you get this will you be, yeah, you can have the bumper sticker and the magnet and you can say it in Christianese language, but only when you can learn to be content, after you've been initiated to learn to be content, take the knowledge and apply the knowledge in all four quadrants, will you be able to say this. Chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's your phrase. That's your verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right, because he will strengthen you with his goodness, with his faithfulness in every situation in those quadrants. If it's because of something you did for prosperity or poverty, he'll be there and strengthen you. If it's because of just life brought you prosperity or poverty, he'll be there to strengthen you. And you will be able to do whatever you need to do in those situations. Now understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is not the humanistic statement. I can do whatever I set my mind to. That's humanism. I can do whatever I want. I'm self-driven. I'm self-maintained. No, the strength is coming from Jesus Christ. He's the one who trained you. He's the one who saved you. But now he's the one who's strengthening you to do what he wants you to do in that situation. When God has called you to do something, he's going to be faithful and bring goodness into your life to make sure that you are successful in the area he's assigned to you. If it's in plenty or in want, if it's because you did it or you just came your way, he will strengthen you. You don't get to pick and choose. I want to be in the NFL so I can set my goals. If you go after something that God has not strengthened you to do, you can. And in the humanistic philosophy, you can go after whatever you want to go after, but going after it without the strength of Christ, you are going to be destroyed by those very desires. Compared to following Christ and doing what he's called you to do, you will be strengthened in the most abstract poverty you can find yourself in, or the most luxurious prosperity. You will be successful if you've caused the poverty, or if it just came to you. If you caused the prosperity, or if it just came to you, you will be trained, you will be initiated into the knowledge of being content in every one of those quadrants, so you may continue to do whatever Christ strengthened you to do.